Blessing. Our loving God and our Father, we thank Thee for Thy goodness to us these couple of days. And we thank Thee for this little hymn that reminds us of the glory of that name that is Thine, blessed Savior. We thank Thee that it is possible for us in this scene to be associated with that holy name, that name which is above every name, and that name which will be on our lips in the glorious scene above very shortly, blessed Savior. And so we thank Thee for this meeting together, and we just ask Thee that there might be liberty of the Spirit of God to take of the precious things of Christ, make them sweet and known to us. And we know that it's a meeting for prophecy, for edification, for comfort, for exhortation. And we just pray, our God, that there might be that which would be from Thy heart of love for Thy people this afternoon, what we have need of. And so we count upon Thee for a blessing, and we look to Thee for it, giving thanks in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I just want to read a couple of verses from the chapter that we had in 1 Timothy, verse 15 and 16 of chapter 4. Again, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And then a portion in Jeremiah, chapter 15, Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Just keep our finger there, and then I'd like to read a couple of verses from Deuteronomy. I believe it's chapter 20. Deuteronomy 20 and verse 6. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. And then a little over chapter 23 and verse 24. When thou comest into thy neighbor's vineyard, then thou mayest eat grapes, thy fill at thine own pleasure, but thou shalt not put any in thy vessel. A vineyard in Scripture had those vines that were planted that produced grapes. I think we've heard many times reference to that verse, that wine cheereth the heart of God and man, and that product from that vineyard is a picture to us of joy. But a vineyard also had hedges round about it. And those hedges protected that vineyard, and they also marked its boundary lines. And so the vineyard speaks to us, I believe, of our possession, an inheritance that we have. For the Israelite, it was part of his inheritance if he had a vineyard. And that inheritance, when it was worked over, it produced that which was for the joy of his heart. But it also, I believe, pictures to us, again, stability and protection. And perhaps a little picture of the truth of God, the words of God, that doctrine which Timothy was exhorted to meditate in, that which he was to take heed to first for himself and then for the blessing of others. The truth of God is meant to produce and will produce in our lives stability in the path. Make us stable believers. It also marks out to us the boundaries. And he that breaketh the hedge, a serpent shall bite him. It marks boundaries for us to keep us safe in that path from crossing over into ways that might lead us into sin and destruction and perhaps hurt for others. And so the Israelite had a vineyard, and if he were to plant it, and it was going to produce grapes, and the call to battle came. If he hadn't yet partaken of that vineyard, he wasn't to go out to battle. He had to wait until he could eat of it. And you know, in that sense, it was just mentioned briefly in the reading meeting. For you and I, the truth of God must be applied first to me. It has to be first for my own soul. And in that way, once it's made good to my own soul, then it can go out for a blessing to others. And so Timothy had a warfare that he was enjoined to by the Apostle Paul. He was going to be facing all kinds of opposition to those who cared not for the doctrine that Paul had taught him, that truth that he had received from an ascended Christ. He was going to be opposed in his pathway in seeking to maintain that doctrine. He had to take it in for himself, take heed to himself first. And he had to eat of that, as it were, that vineyard himself, before he could go out to battle, before he could be a help to others. And it's the same with us. We need, in the verse before that, it speaks of a man building a house. And if he hadn't built a house and dedicated it, he wasn't to go out to battle either. You know, you and I are building a house of doctrine, as it were. And as a young man, as a young brother and sister in Christ, you're building a house of doctrine and getting a framework and then filling it out from the Word of God. And that needs to be in place, that framework, and again, applying that, taking heed to ourselves before we can go out and be used in the battle for the Lord and for the deliverance of others. And so Timothy was going to save himself if he took heed to that, and he was going to save others. And when a man went out to battle, you know, you're out there, and I suppose your first thought as the enemy's coming is, how are you going to fend it off and keep yourself from being cut with that sword or whatever weapon is coming? But you're also there in that warfare for the defense of another, for the deliverance of another. And you know, in Scripture, there's different warfares. In Galatians, there's a warfare that is more internal. We have an old nature, the flesh, and the Apostle speaks of how the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and the Spirit of God indwells the believer to keep that flesh in the place of death, to help us to judge that old nature. And there's a warfare there. There's a battle that takes place. And then there's a warfare in the book of Ephesians where we get the armor of God. And that is a warfare of taking hold of our inheritance, what God has given us. And Satan is going to oppose our enjoyment of what God has given us. And in the book of Joshua, we see they had a warfare to go into the land of Canaan and take their inheritance, to lay hold of it. And it's a wonderful book to read, conquest after conquest. Yes, lessons learned, there were some failures. Beautiful conquests. Joshua leading them, the captain of their salvation, as it were, like a picture of Christ. But then we come to the book of Judges, and you know, there's warfare there too, but it takes a little different character. And I think of it more in the warfare that Timothy had before him. They were already in the land. Under Joshua, you know, they had come in, taken possession of their inheritance. But different enemies came in, and they became enslaved and subject to those enemies. And a warfare of a little different nature came up, and that was a warfare of deliverance of the people of God. deliverance of the people of God. And dear ones, the truth that was recovered to us, and we have on our bookshelves those dear men of God who wrote those things for us. In a certain sense, I think of it like Joshua's day, I suppose, if I can make an application that way. And much was recovered, but you know, now it's a little different kind of a warfare. It's a warfare of deliverance of those who, in a certain sense, once had possession of those things, and it's slipping away through the enemy's tactics and pressure from every side. And that was the warfare Timothy had. Now it was not a warfare of going out and getting the truth, but of maintaining it, of encouraging the saints to walk in it, of standing against every opposition to that warfare. And the Israelite also, we read that other verse in Deuteronomy 23, he could glean in the vineyard of another. And you know, we have vineyards to glean in. Dear men of God who recovered that truth and wrote down as they, I believe, led of the Spirit of God and their apprehension of those things. And we can go glean in those vineyards. But an Israelite was, he could eat as much as he want, but he couldn't put any in his vessel. Couldn't put any in his vessel. You know, only what we have assimilated for ourselves and enjoyed for ourselves first can be given out in reality for the blessing of others. It's take heed to thyself first, and then there can be blessing for others. If he just put it in his vessel, he might hand it out to someone else, and they might really get nourished by it even, I suppose, but he would not have anything for himself. And as an old brother said, what comes from the heart goes to the heart, not from the head. It's got to be in the heart. You know, our minds, our ears, they're like the highways, the byways, the outposts, I think Mr. Bellett said, of the truth, the channel. But the heart is the dwelling place of the truth of God. It's the dwelling place of evil too. But it's the dwelling place of the truth. But there's a gate. The gate is the conscience. If the truth does not have an effect upon me, if it doesn't enter by the conscience, it'll never take its dwelling place up in my heart. And I won't have from the heart to give out for the blessing of others. So as we take these things in, it needs to be that application first to self, and then can be given out for the blessing of others, not as out of a vessel, but as from the heart. And so Jeremiah, he found those words, the words of God. And think of the recovery that Jeremiah saw in King Josiah, and the word of God was found and recovered. That dusty old book in that closed up house of God was brought out, and it was the word of God, and it was read in, and it brought blessing. I think of Jeremiah in his youth rejoicing the word of God had been found, rejoicing. And here he says, thy words were found, I did eat them. I didn't put them in a vessel, I ate them. Took them in for himself. And the word was unto me as the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So it identified himself with the author of the book. Brought him close to him. You know, men, it says in Genesis, begin to call themselves by the name of the Lord. Came a time when wickedness and corruption rose up in this earth that they made a special point of calling themselves by the name of the Lord, identifying themselves as separate from that scene, rushing on to destruction in the flood. He is called by his name. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Oh, you know, as that assimilated word entered into his heart, it set him apart. It set him apart from everything that would dishonor the Lord. And he says, I sat alone. He felt it. He felt alone in Israel. He felt separated from those around. Oh, that's the first thing I believe that assimilated word of God does to us. It'll separate us from what dishonors God. the Lord. Is that easy? It's not always easy. You know, Jeremiah, in a certain sense, he just feels the difficulty of having to walk in a path of separation. Indignation fills him. He says, "Oh, he was offended, as it were, for the Lord's sake, as he saw the dishonor done to God, as the word of God was open to him, and he saw Israel was not walking according to God's word, but it separated him. And he complains, why is my pain perpetual, and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, as waters that fail? Oh, you know, I've found thy word." It seems like it should be it started out with joy and rejoicing. How come now I'm isolated, I'm separated, and there's family I can't go on with, and there's friends that I can't go on with anymore, and it just seems like it's never going to end. It's perpetual, and the grief of it never goes away. Is this really it's almost as if he's questioning whether he really wants this path. Wasn't easy, was it? But that word had entered into his heart. It had found its dwelling place there. And the Lord answers him in verse 19, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then I will bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them." Oh, Jeremiah, he says, I've brought you into this separated place for a purpose. I've separated you that you might be a help and blessing to others, that you might be used of me to separate the precious from the vile. Oh, you remember that similitude of the kingdom with that gospel net that went out and it draws in all manner of fishes? What a happy work it was to take the precious. And they put it in vessels. They just left the bad on the shore. They didn't worry about that. They took the precious and put it into vessels. You know, Jehu was a man that God used to deliver kingdom from Jezebel, wicked Jezebel. And he finds a man, Jonadab, and he says, "Come see my zeal for the Lord." You know, Jehu's a proud man. He was occupied with himself. He says to Jonadab, "Come see my zeal for the Lord." He went up in the chariot with him. And they came to this house where Baal was worshipped. And Jehu was going to execute the judgment of God on that house and slay all the worshipers of Baal. And Jonadab, he gets sent in and he says, "You find the real worshipers of Jehovah and you get them out of there." Oh, he had the happy task of laying hold of those who are really the Lord's. And he says, "You come out of this place that's going to burn to the ground. Come out of here." Oh, that's how God wants to use you and I to separate the precious from the vile. Jonadab never picked up a sword that I've read of. How he was used of God to separate that which God had set his heart on. Oh, he wants us in that place, and that's the only place he can use us for the deliverance of God's people, if we've been separated by his word entering into our souls from all that would dishonor him. "And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord." And so he says to him, "I'm going to make you like a tower, Jeremiah, like a fortress, a citadel, that those who want to be separate from what dishonors me can run to, can find their help. Don't leave that separated place, Jeremiah. You let them come to you, but don't you go back. I've sanctified you. I've made you clean. I've set you aside for my purpose. Don't go back. Don't go back. I can't use you back there." And so I believe he says to each one of us in that way that he would separate us with his word from all that dishonors Him. And in that way and that way alone, we can be used in that warfare for Him of the deliverance of God's people.